I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Happy New Year, Marissa.
Happy New Year.
2020. Wow.
Seems so crazy to me.
It does. I mean, I remember when the big deal was Y2K.
Me too. We had like the flashlights and...
Just in case everything all, shut down,
yes,
right?
And we had like the whole extended family under one roof.
Yep,
and
same here.
Like all the food and snacks and flashlights. And I remember all the adults had special champagne glasses that the stem was the 2000. They're still downstairs in my parents' house. It's a big deal.
Well, you know, what we did, you know, and everybody was worried about, you know, would the computer programs shut down? And the flashlights was the power grid going to go out?
Right.
And the crazy part was that, so my cousin's husband, Terry, is an electrician, but they were visiting from Ohio. And I think that maybe one of his sons had, you know, snuck down into our basement to our service entrance there for our electrical and flipped the switch. So the whole, if I remember right, the whole house goes dark and it's like, and everybody just like, Terry, turn the power back.
That's
funny. But yeah, but this is still, it's 2020. So that, and think about it, Y2K was 20 years ago.
Yes, I feel too young for this.
Unbelievable. Exactly. You should. You should. And, you know, I remember when I started working, I started thinking about, okay, when am I going to be able to retire? And it was like in a 2020 something, you know, and it's like, oh, wow. But it's 2020. And so everybody knows that, yeah, I've, you know, Christmas, the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. But that I also have a, I guess you call it a ritual practice that I do that I've started doing, I'm going to guess now maybe my 6 years. Yeah, 6 years, 5, 6 years now, which is my year-end reflection and planning. So the post that went out this morning said, take a time out. And really, if this could be the most important thing, taking time to reflect and look at your growth plan before the year really gets underway might be the most important time you spend to make this new year a success for you. And let me explain what I mean by that. You know, when we did the growth planning series, and I talked about the fact that, you know, how frustrating it could be to climb a ladder of success only to get to the top and realize it's leaning up against the wrong wall. We all need to recalibrate. We need to look at what happened in the year before. Did we move closer to our goals? Were our activities really in line with our values? Or did we just do more of the same? You know, the goal is not to do more of the same. The goal is to do more of what works and less of what doesn't work. So for me, I kind of called it a timeout. And there were three factors that I think everybody needs to make sure that they pay attention to. One is you have to schedule the time. If, you know, what I think it might be Michael Hyatt that said, what gets scheduled gets done. To-do lists don't work. 40% of what we put on a to-do list never gets accomplished. But what we schedule gets done. And don't think that this won't take a significant amount of time. You know, as we're recording this, this is actually before Christmas. And I spent a couple hours this afternoon, and I just scratched the surface on some of it. And we can talk about that in a minute. So you got to schedule time to do it. The next thing is you need to find your best place to do it. Now, if I were going to be totally honest with you, my best place would probably be in my chair next to my wood stove in our living room. But that's not an option today because we're babysitting some kids, and there's a lot of people home, and you really need to be alone with this. Alone, or if some of what you're doing has to do with a relationship, for in my case, a marriage, it might mean spending some time with my wife to talk through some of the things, and we can touch on that later too.
Mm-hmm.
The next point is gather your tools. So we've got our we've got our time, we got our place, and also let me jump back on time. Don't try to do it all in one sitting. You can't. because you really need to think deeply about some things. So for me, I'm probably going to use 3 different sittings. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe 4. So when I say schedule, I have scheduled it for this week. The only day when I won't have the luxury of pulling a couple hours out is probably Christmas Day, which wouldn't be fair to stay away from the family.
Mm-hmm.
But I got 4 other days this week, because it's a Monday right now, when I'm going to come into my office for probably 2 hours at a time, maybe a little bit longer, to work on this. And then so I got my time, I got my place, gather your tools. So what are you going to need? You know what? You're going to need your calendar, your reflection sheets, whatever it is, your journal from 2019. You got to be able to go back and look at the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, think about things that didn't work. Think about things that did work. You know, were there events that you liked? Your vacations, you know, special date nights, whatever it might be, that, you know, family events that spoke to you. Those are things that you want to reflect on, because we want to build those into 2020. You got to have your calendar or whatever you're going to use for the next year. Get your growth plan out if you use a growth plan. So for me, mine changed dramatically this year because of how much more structured my growth plan is. And some of the tools that I've worked on crafting over the last few months, I'm super excited about putting to use as I go into 2020. Look at pictures that you took. You know, I have not even a colleague, but like an acquaintance, someone that I know, fellow John Maxwell team member, who's actually now on the faculty of the John Maxwell company. And he uses his pictures on his phone to do his reflection.
Hmm.
Because he takes pictures of things that are meaningful.
Right.
So his goal is, how many pictures did I take and save? And the more pictures he has, that is a metric that he uses for his year, which I thought was pretty cool. Because a lot of us look for metrics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not complicated, but you need to do it well. And you really need to schedule the time, find the place, and gather the tools.
So all in all, you think you spend about 10 hours on this? Am I counting those hours right that you said you blocked off?
8 to 10.
Eight to 10.
No, I don't know if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's years when I have not. I think, you know what? I think if somebody was going to do it well, I think they'd probably have to use 6.
And is it, gut. Do you think it's like 50% of reflection and 50% planning, or...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I would say 50-50. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And what's different this year for me is the dramatic structure going forward that I didn't have before.
Mm-hmm. So what are you using this year?
So for our listeners will remember that we talked about, we did 3 episodes on the growth plan. And so what's new for me this year is really the documentation, if I can call it that. And I don't want, mm-hmm. you know, people need to realize I'm not a high C behavior profile. I'm a high I followed by a high S. So I'm all about enjoying life and, you know, having great relationships. I don't like being alone, although I have to say I do love some quiet time now and then,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not a person that wants to just go in an office and work by myself all day. So really what I've done is the growth plan that I talked about when we did our 3 episodes, and I developed the only group that's actually seen it was our MACNE staff. But I started out, we all know that we started out with our 6 value words. And so what I've been able to do, in fact, what I was working on today, was taking those value words and writing them down. I had them prioritized, and then I people are here, my binder unclick as I open up the ring binder here. But I wrote all 6 of them down, and then I wrote what those words mean to me and why I chose them. And just that process clarifies in my mind what I'm looking for going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for instance, my second value word is marriage. I'm talking about the relationship with my wife, that I want it to be deeper, and I want it to continually grow, and I want to be able to find a way to cultivate the growth in our relationship going forward. So if you start thinking about those things, all of a sudden it starts telling you, what do I need to build into my system, so to speak? So then, so the first thing is write down the words and what do they mean? And then what I do is the next phase was, what's going well? So I look back at this year. What was going well in that part of my life, whatever it is? Identify successes, identify, you know, we're only starting with well, meaningful events, meaningful interactions type of thing. Then the next question is, what isn't going well? So now I'm looking back at 2019. Okay, so what were my struggles? What was I not really happy with? And you're going to get that information by going through your calendar, your journal. You know, when John Maxwell talks about it, he literally goes through every single day of his calendar.
Wow.
He spends like a week doing this. But he goes through every single event. How did he feel about it? And he had written journal notes about it. I don't go that deep, but I'll tell you, going forward, I think I'm going to have a much easier time with it. So what's not going well? What might be missing? So if I look back on the year and I say, what was missing in this aspect of my life, whether it's of one of my six values, whatever that might have been, and then I can figure out, how do I put that in? The other question that I had here, what am I unsure about in this area? That was really an interesting one. And so for some of my six value words, I was able to identify what I thought was missing. Others I couldn't. And so I just put a question mark, and I'll come back to it at the end of the week, so to speak, and see if I was able to find something out. So then once I got through all those six, then I need to go through my resources for the coming year. So again, I've looked back, and I'm not completed with this. I'm just going to kind of talk you through some of the stuff that I've already done. So I look back at the year. Okay, what worked well in resources that I had? What didn't work well? What resources do I want to change out in terms of my growth plan?
Mm-hmm.
And so what are resources? Books that I read, podcasts, events I went to, trainings I took, people I met with. So I'm looking back, what went well, what didn't go well, what I learned, that type of thing. So then I'm building my plan for next year. So let me flip the page here. I've actually got a form that would be my resources in the first quarter. And so as I'm looking at 2020, in the first quarter of 2020, I've identified for myself, what resources, what podcasts am I going to use? What books am I going to use? What events and classes will I attend in the first quarter of the year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, literally down to now. So people say, wait a minute, you mean you really know all that? No, I really don't. I don't know it all yet. So I've started laying out the annual one, and then I broke that. So some of it is long term. Like I know that I'm going to go to a Maxwell certification event in March. I know that we have Live to Lead in October. Those are things that I'm going to attend, events I'm going to attend. Vacations. That's part of your growth plan, because if we don't spend time with our family, we can't grow that part of our relationship. So, you know, when are the vacations going to take place? I don't have all of those, but I'll block out the ones that I do know. I've got the first part of the annual piece done. Then I jump to the quarterly piece. So what books do I plan on reading in the first 3 months of the year? Well, unfortunately, I've only got two right now. But I know what I'm going to read in January and February. March is still up for grabs. Other activities. So what I do is on one of my forms, I've got the activity, but then I have the value that corresponds to. And the reason why I'm excited about this is that I've got the plan, but then there's a place to say at the end of the quarter, was it effective or not?
Mm-hmm.
And how effective was it? And I've built in things like, okay, I want to, so one of my values is family. And I really think that I would like to schedule a lunch, a one-on-one lunch. Now, my daughter lives in Ohio, so I can't have a lunch once a month with Bethany. But I can with my three boys. So my plan is schedule one lunch with each of them each month.
That's a great idea.
To work on strengthening the family relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Date nights with my wife. I'd love to say we could do it once a week, but we can't. Because then again, if somebody else is with us, it's probably not a date night.
Right.
But I'm going to say I'd like to try to plan two per month.
Mm-hmm.
Which we should be able to do because Tim doesn't need a babysitter anymore. So we can just say, hey, you're on your own, son. So that's like the quarterly piece. And what I love is because the way the forms were developed, at the end of the quarter,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to review it. And then I'll adjust what I'm going to do differently going forward.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like a lot of work. And I will admit, it seems like a lot of work up front, and it is. But the nice part is, as I go through this plan, the reason why it's taking so much time is there's so much detail. But there's a summary sheet that once I'm done with the week, I will have been able to fill out for the year going forward. And it literally would be my whole year as best I can at this point, because we know some of it's going to change, on one sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice part, too, is the evaluations per quarter, that also is going to be on this one cover sheet.
And I'm sure you schedule those, right? Now, you schedule those right on your calendar so you know to go back.
Yeah. There will be at the end of the quarter. I will look at, because if I don't put that in my calendar now, I'll schedule over it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I make it is less burdensome? I don't know if that's the right way to put it. As easy as possible.
Easy, yep.
How do I make it easy? So I decided to structure my reflection a little bit more. I do reflect every day. But if you think about it, and so that once that became a ritual that I do every day, it actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet you 98% of the time that reflection is occurring the way I want it to because it became a habit goal. What I need to create in this new year is now a habit goal of weekly summaries and monthly summaries. So part of my Friday or Saturday night or Saturday morning would be just take a look at the week.
Mm-hmm.
And in that week, what were the highlights? What were the struggles? And when I was listening to a teaching that John Maxwell said, this doesn't have to be more than 10 minutes. Imagine if we could commit 10 minutes a week to capturing the greatest learnings and lessons from our week. Then at the end of the month, another 10 minutes. Maybe it's 15 monthly. So now I'm looking at four sheets of paper for each week. Some months will have five. And I capture that into a monthly summary. And then at the end of the year, I've got 12 sheets of paper to look at. It simplifies everything. And it streamlines everything. But I never did that. And so, maybe this is something you can challenge me on going forward in podcasts. Am I doing it? How's it working? The other thing that I found that I thought would be really helpful for me was to be much more intentional about the books I read, the classes I take, the events I go to. And so I kind of have I developed a form for like the books. What are my key learnings from this book? So what is it? This is something that's going to be one that I keep in my iPad. It's going to be at Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
Because my phone and my iPad and my laptop, one of those devices is always with me. So as I'm reading, just a place, dictate a thought. In this chapter, this really spoke to me. So then I'll have book summaries at the end of the book. If I go to a MACNE event or wherever it might be, who do I plan on meeting with? Who's going to be there? Who would I like to connect with? What do I hope to accomplish in the event? And then when you just reflect on it, again, it's an easy digital kind of note.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes something that goes into the summary that you're going to have at the end. I think the tools just make it really easy. It sounds cumbersome, but it's kind of like, if you look at it this way, if someone were to describe, let's say, a day planner, it sounds complicated. What was complicated was how many years it took Franklin Covey to develop the first Franklin planner, let's say. And I or think daytimers to reflect theirs.
That's the plan that works for you. I mean, there are other ways
Absolutely.
To do this, and it's more or less about finding what works for each of us and being consistent.
Exactly, that consistency piece. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I needed the place to put the information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think like you've shown me some of the planners or journals that you've worked with over mm-hmm. the years. And, you know, having a place to put something was the key.
Right.
And I remember the first time my boss wanted me to use a Franklin planner, I'm like, what? But once somebody could explain a system, and I think that's the key. You have to develop your system.
Right.
And once somebody could explain that system to me, it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having a meeting once at work with the controller at work. And he said to me, hey, do you remember we had a meeting about 4 months ago and we decided on some calculations? It might have been for like vacation time. I said, yeah. He said, David, I can't find those notes anywhere. I have no idea what we agreed to. And I'm like, what do you mean? You don't have? And he goes, I don't have them. I said, okay, wait a minute. And I went over to my bookcase in my office and I pulled off my storage binder for my Franklin planner. I said, do you remember about when it was? And he goes, yeah, it was about, so we knew within like a 3 week window, all I did was flip through those 3 weeks worth of pages and I had written it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the value of a system. Yep. However you do it.
Exactly.
Whether it's, you know, fully digital, fully paper, I don't care. Just have something. Mm-hmm. And for me, the exciting part was just forcing myself to fill out the forms I created. Forcing myself to fill out those forms allowed me to clarify what do I really want in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wouldn't have answered those questions, I'd have gone into 2020 blind saying, oh, I got these hopes. I got these beliefs. You know, I really want to have a great relationship long term with my three boys. Great. What are you doing to make that happen? I'd really like to strengthen relationship with my wife. Yeah, what are you doing to make that happen? I'd really like to learn more about this or this or this so my classes can be more vibrant and more relevant. How are you going to do that? Got a plan.
Yep.
So the key, what I'm going to need your help with is hold me accountable.
I'm good for that.
You are. And our listeners should do that too. You know, just send a note. How's Dave doing? Mm-hmm. Dave, show us a photo of your growth binder. There you go. There's proof, right?
Yep.
So when you listen to what I'm talking about, what thoughts come into your head?
Well, I'm starting to think about what I need to do to prepare for 2020, okay. Which looks different for me this year.
Absolutely.
And it has looked different for me in the last few years. So I know this is very motivational for me because I need to kick it into high gear over here.
Well, and I cannot imagine trying to do what I'm doing this week
mm-hmm.
in your phase of life.
Yeah.
I'm being honest. You know, whether it was, whether I was you or Derek, you mm-hmm. know, when you got little ones, it changes everything. It's a wonderful time. Don't wish it away because it goes away very quickly.
Yeah.
But it would be much harder. And I think probably what we need to do is, you know, my wife and I would just have some short little spurts here and there. Maybe it's 20 minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan is a lot simpler. Just because you know the real plan is survive, right?
Right. I was just going to say that I saw something. I think it was maybe on Instagram, and it was said that you know it's okay if the only thing you achieved in 2019 was surviving the year.
Yeah.
And I feel like you know that like that's relevant to me right now because we are
absolutely
just up to our ears in things for the girls and just taking care of everyone and keeping everyone fed and warm and all those things. So that was really hard for me to accept before, but I think I'm realizing like that's where I am right now. And looking at 2020, I think just setting a few goals for myself and for our family that are manageable will be where we're at this year.
Well, and look at your seasonal bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plan.
Yep.
So, I'm glad that that came to my mind, because people don't need to think that this needs to be some super drawn out, laid out. For me, I need that. It gets mm-hmm. me organized. The seasonal bucket list is the same type of thing. It's a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as we're being intentional, maybe that's the key. As we go into 2020, let's live with intentionality. Let's plan our life and take control over what's happening, rather than letting other people dictate to us what's going to happen. Because even, you know, and so somebody says, what happens if the plan changes? Well, the plan changed. That's mm-hmm. why I'm looking at a quarterly assessment, because if I'm not making adjustments quarterly, something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm super excited about, you know, my week. I'm hoping it comes across in what I'm saying, because I just love the fact of seeing what I hope to accomplish next year in every aspect of my life, from my personal faith to my interaction with the community. Those are the bookends of my values,
mm-hmm.
value words. And I just can't wait to see how the year unfolds, because there's some real action built into moving forward.
Well, I'm right here cheering you on.
Good. And so let me know when you're going to be in the office next time, so I'll make sure that my growth binder's with me, so I can show it to you.
Okay, awesome.
And, you know, one of our plans is, so talk about accountability, mm-hmm. is that we are working on how we can release this as a digital content to our listeners and our mm-hmm. MACNI members.
Yep.
So I've got it in my head. I just mm-hmm. got to figure out how this is all going to come together.
We'll get there.
We will. And I have no idea what I'm writing about next.
That's okay.
Because we did two podcasts back to back, so that we aren't bothering each other on Christmas and New Year's mm-hmm. Eve. So. Anything you want to share before we conclude?
No, I just want to wish everyone a happy new year, and may this be Absolutely. The best one yet.
Absolutely. We're starting a new decade.
Mm-hmm.
Let's nail this one.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
This was The Next Page.